Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Chicago baseball Twitter was all in a kerfuffle about some things Jay Happ said about RBIs. And as always, you know, the Twitter completely overblown the situation. Actually, you know, asked our mutual friend Matt Spiegel if what he said, and he sent me a link. I listened to it. I said, actually, that's perfectly reasonable. But more importantly, you know, two things struck me. One was, why do we care what players think about advanced metrics? But the other part was like, sometimes RBIs do matter. And sometimes some of these things do matter. And we can get focused or maybe overly focused, especially in terms of awards and things, with you know, traditional analytic metrics, as strange as that might sound, like WAR and things like that, and forget about what's happening on the field. So, you know, as someone who is a fan of the absurd, you know, at times I call major league executives and ask them if they think clowns could do arbitration hearings. I decided to make up a player and see if I could make that make RBIs matter was my goal.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Welcome in on 670 The Score. That is our next guest, Kevin Goldstein, on earlier, I believe it was this week, with Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi. Jason Benetti joins us in an hour, Bruce Levine in about 40 minutes. But before that, we talk to Kevin from Fangraphs right now on The Score Hotline, presented by Alpamonte Ford. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or you can go to apford.com. It is a rare treat to get a man fresh out of an MLB front office. Oh, he's fresh. You can see him. You can see the steam still rising off the dome of Kevin Goldstein as he's delivered back into the media universe as of right now for Fangraphs and joins us here on The Score. Good morning, Kevin. What's happening?
Beaks, how are you? Did I really refer to the Cubs outfielder as J.A. Happ in that one? Boy.
I didn't even notice. If you did, don't worry.
I did.
Oh yeah, no credibility lost. Don't worry. Hey, the fact that you called him J A Happ and not J Happ is that's a win. I still struggle
partial
with
credit.
That one. Yeah, right. Exactly. But you know, let's go ahead and start there. That's an interesting place to start. There's other places I want to go, but how much does a player understanding metrics ever even matter to a front office or to, you know, as you're thinking about it, like they need to understand what they're being told, but they don't necessarily need to understand the depth and breadth of the numbers and what they actually say. I guess it's a bonus when it does, when they do understand, but do they need to understand?
No, who cares? I've never understood it. I remember, I'm not going to name names here, but an analytical, big supporter of the analytics, interviewing Clayton Kershaw at an All-Star game and talked to him about his whip. And Clayton Kershaw said, no, I just care about wins. And the reporter was apoplectic over this. And I was like, why do you care? Why do you care what Clayton Kershaw thinks about, you know, statistically? This is not a moment to become evangelical about the thing. You know, I know plenty of great players, plenty of great pitchers who, when they go out there, want to get the win. And if that's what drives them to pitch well, go get the win, baby. Like, why do people care? I've never understood it. That's always been a problem with kind of the analytic community of getting mad when players in particular say something that might be, you know, against analytics or doesn't necessarily agree with the way analytics go. It's just always never made any sense to me. But whatever drives a player, let it drive a player. He doesn't need to worry about these things.
No, it's as long as it doesn't drive them towards something that isn't sensible, right? I suppose there are some instances where those kind of things drive a player towards something. But I guess as long as the manager puts them in the right position, it kind of eliminates that risk.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if a player says, like, look, walks are dumb, I'm never going to walk, you might want to talk to him about all the benefits of at least focusing on pitches you can drive, you know, and then maybe some more walks will come. But yeah, absolutely, it's up to the manager to put every player into a position where they can get the most out of their abilities. That's one of the manager's biggest jobs. You know, people measure them way too often on, you know, weird strategy things, how often they bunt and what they did in the pen and whatever. But, you know, there's so much soft science to being a manager, and it's just the ability to get the best performances out of players. And that's an incredibly hard thing to, you know, kind of put a statistical evaluation on.
One of the new rules that's happening in the minors, Kevin, is going to be all four infielders with their feet on the dirt. And there's a possibility that the second half of the year, they may go to the two infielders on each side of second base. We'll have to see. All of this may be a precursor to eliminating the shift or banning the shift in MLB, or it might not. It might not go anywhere. It's perfectly reasonable to experiment, and I love that they're doing that. I always come back to this as a guy who would like to see shifts go away, and I know it is suppressing innovation. I understand that, but we've seen this before with defensive 3 seconds rule in the NBA and things like that, or the hand check for defensive backs in the NFL and stuff like that. I mean, it's okay to amend the rules a little bit if the game is being affected. The thought process has always been, man, why can't the hitters just go the opposite way and hit it away from the shift? And why can't they adjust? Do you think it is a product of more of them being unwilling to do so or just unable to do so because hitting a baseball is really, really hard?
It's so hard. And you know, we talk about this all the time. It's just, if hitters could not only hit a baseball, but aim it with the kind of precision you are now asking for, wouldn't they hit 750? You know, we get in the situation where I just hit it between the shortstop and the third baseman. Like, if you think a guy could do that consistently, you would have the best hitter in baseball. And you know, the number of guys who have just merely enough contact skills to do something like that, I don't need more than two hands to count. And so, no, absolutely. There's this concept of, I get hit them where they're eight and all that kind of stuff, but the thought that hitters can aim a baseball consistently with a bat, you know, is utterly ludicrous. Just hit the ball as hard as you can, and good things will happen.
See, and if that's the case, I want guys rewarded when they hit the ball hard in shallow right center, as opposed to that being right at a second baseman who's positioned out there. I'd like to see them rewarded for the happenstance of wherever the hell it goes on hard contact. So that's why I'm for an eventual shift change, because I want to see that rewarded. Where do you fall on it? Because a lot of people say I'm misguided with that, but I just want to see, and aesthetically, I guess there's a big component there. I want to see it succeed when I see the smack off the bat or up the middle. If somebody hits it hard up the middle, that should be a freaking hit, in my opinion. But, you know, who am I?
You know, you also did say that, you know, they shouldn't be allowed to have a defensive back in a certain spot. If you can throw it there, it's a freaking touchdown, right? You know, I think you use the word suppressing innovation. That's what bothers me. I think teams should be allowed to do whatever they want, and the other team should have to adjust to it. At the same time, you know, I'm interested in seeing how this works out. I'm interested in seeing the numbers at, you know, AA when they mess with this, in the sense that, as they stated in their document about the rule changes, MLB said the goal was to increase batting averages and balls in play. If that's the goal, this just might have a little bit of an effect on that. It's not the best way to change that. I think baseball has become such a power game. And I mean on both sides of the ball. Everybody's throwing 95 plus. And let's face it, in a really good big league lineup, most if not everyone is a danger to hit a ball over the fence if he gets a meatball at the very least. And so it is such a power game. And you're not going to curb strikeouts. I don't know how you're going to do that. And you're not going to curb guys trying to hit home runs. And so this will have some sort of small effect. So I'm at least open-minded to that aspect of it. But like you said, I'm not crazy about kind of squashing innovation. And I think teams should be allowed to be experimental.
You can read a great give and take with Kevin and a colleague over at FanGraphs on the rule changes. Another thing you can read over there is something you wrote about your personal anniversary of the beginnings of the pandemic, and it's a great read. It's where you were in the Dominican doing what you've done for a long time as a media member and then as a front office stalwart in Houston, and how you were fearful, wondering how it would shake out, and eventually got out of the Dominican. And it's a great read, as I said, but the picture you paint of where you were, which I think you mostly did as a scene setter, but paint that for the listeners, would you? What that, multiple fields and what that kind of moment looks like? Because a lot of us have heard about the scouting of players in the Dominican or other Latin American countries, and we have no idea what it really looks like. What does it really look like?
It depends on the player. Sometimes you're at the tiny little backfield of some trainers that used to be some team's complex and is now in a state of disrepair, and it's you with three other guys, and you're watching one player, and you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. And other times, interestingly enough, my very first trip to the Dominican Republic was to go to the Jose Abreu workout.
Wow.
I'll tell you this, and I hope he doesn't get too mad at me, but I sat next to Kenny Williams during much of the Jose Abreu workout. And I knew I was in trouble. I knew we were in trouble. It was such a funny thing. His first round of batting practice, this was at the Yankees facility in the Dominican. And a lot of players have their private workouts at the Yankees facility in the Dominican because the wind blows out. So the home runs really fly there, right? And then right beyond center field is a barn with a corrugated metal roof. And Jose Abreu is a large man who hits balls very far. And he goes and takes his couple rounds of batting practice. And it was I always just remember the sound. It was whack off the bat and then carry, 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 bang off this metal roof. And it was just a minute of whack, bang. And right next to me is this Kenny Williams giggling to himself. And I said, I think the White Sox like this guy.
So you knew you were in trouble because Kenny was into it.
He's always talked like this guy.
And you knew, you figured they were going to out-offer you, the Houston Astros, on Jose Abreu, or you figured if they offered, Abreu would go there because of any relationships or what?
It certainly felt like money ruled the day. The Astros actually did pretty strongly on him. I was there with three other evaluators. So they all liked him. And if I remember right, it was the final four, the Astros, the Rockies, the White Sox. I want to say that maybe the Giants. It was, everyone saw him. About 3 days later, his representative said, if you're interested in providing an offer, they're due in 48 hours. And it went from there. And then the White Sox ended up getting him. And obviously, he's been phenomenal for them. But, that was my first, big workout was going to see Jose Abreu. I would go down there for all the big Cubans. I did a private workout at the Astros complex with Luis Robert. I've seen these dudes for a while.
Wow. How do you know, Kevin, as a scout, how do you know when somebody's special? Do you have particular markers that you look for or instincts that you allow to take hold for you?
In the case of those guys, you kind of knew you were walking into something special. Abreu was the long time, three-hole hitter, if you will, for, in both his team in Cuba and for the Cuban national team. Luis Robert was a guy who had been seen with the Cuban national team, had a little bit of experience in those pro leagues, and and everyone knew the tools were, you know, nothing short of incredible. And it took about, I don't know, 2 minutes to see him in person for him to go, oh, yeah, they really are. And so, you know, some guys you walk into and you know what you're getting, you know, especially some of these, the Cuban players where you have exposure to them with the Cuban national team and things like that. And other times you do find yourself walking in a situation and within, you know, 20 minutes you're going, who is this guy? What is that? And, you know, you're finding your local scout down there who's, you know, seen the kid far more than you have. You're saying, tell me about this player. What do you know about him? Where did he come from? You know, how long has he been this good? And, you know, there's certain things you look for. I think with the international players, you're focusing far more on the tools first and how good a baseball player they are, secondly, and then hoping that your player development group can turn these guys into baseball players at times. But you know special tools when you see them.
Is there somebody that you can think of who was not heralded and then you were like, oh, man, look at that guy, and ended up being something that you weren't expecting?
I look, man, I can talk to you for about 4 hours about all my misses, if you'd like. I think one that really stands out for me is Trey Turner. I went and saw Trey Turner. I actually saw him and Carlos Rodon over at NC State, and I saw Trey Turner, wrote him up, wasn't crazy about him, thought it was more of a second baseman than a shortstop, didn't have a lot of power. I kind of thought he'd be like a 270 with 10 second baseman who could run. And obviously he's turned into one of the better players in all of baseball. So you have your share of misses, and that's one that always has bothered me for sure.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, yeah, we'll do that sometime for hours and hours and hours. I'd like
no,
it.
Not.
Well, not even necessarily the misses. I'm sure you have guys that feel like yours. I'll tell you one that maybe you don't even want to claim, but, I mean, you should. When you were, I believe you were director of pro scouting at the time for Houston, there were a whole bunch of guys that you picked up from other teams that all of a sudden were really good. One of them was Jake Marisnyk, who yesterday homered deep for the Cubs. Looks like he's going to make their team. I personally assign him to you, Kevin, whether you want him or not. I put him on the Goldstein ledger. He's got some game left, and I think he's going to make the Cubs here this spring.
I think he should make the Cubs. I actually think he's a really good fit for them, and I think he will. He's perfect. You know, I know obviously Jock Peterson's had an incredible spring training, but in a perfect world, Jock Peterson never plays against left-handed pitching. Against left-handed pitching, he's a little better than you and me. Against right-handed pitching, he's really a borderline all-star, and so that's a really, really valuable piece. But, you know, like we talked about, the best thing to do with any player is accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. And so don't have him play against left-handed pitchers in a situation like that. You can slide Ian Happ, whose first name I do know, over to left field and put Jake in center against the lefty. And I think that's kind of a perfect spot to him. He still plays a fantastic defense. So this is a plus-plus center fielder. He can play all three positions. He throws well. He has this kind of – he does have very real power. He's just – that doesn't get to it a ton because he has some hitting issues. But, you know, for a guy who can hit, you know, 230, 240, whack some balls over the fence and play outstanding defense, he can run well. It's a really valuable fourth outfielder, and I do think he should make the team.
I think the Cubs have told Jock Peterson he's going to get a chance to play every day and hit against lefties. Can a guy learn at this advanced spot in his career? Because the Dodgers stopped giving him a chance because they were all about winning, understandably. But I think the Cubs are going to give him a chance here.
You know, I think he has spent 6 years in the big league showing us he can't. I think it's very hard to change that. It's funny you say that. I recently looked at his splits to spring training. Yeah, and obviously he's been fantastic. You know what? All the damage is against righties. And so I'm not optimistic about it.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess you got to hold on to your convictions while some will go to the side of, no, he can totally do it. He can totally change. People can evolve, Kevin. But
right. there might be a handshake agreement as well. You got to remember, like, it's you know, Jock Peterson was a free agent. It's quite possible there was a discussion before he signed. Am I going to play every day? And it's quite possible the team says, look, we're going to play you every day, but it's the same struggles against lefties. Rear their ugly head again. We'll have to make a change, but initially we will play you every day. There could be that sort of verbal agreement in place, even.
Well, that's certainly what I read from it, from the way that they've talked about it. If you're a front office, do you go to your manager and tell him that you're doing this, or do you do it after you sign him because you're the boss, essentially?
You tell you certainly would talk to your manager. Hey, we're talking to Jock Peterson. We're real close. He wants to play every day, and you know, if we assure him of playing every day, as long as he doesn't struggle as much against lefties, are you cool with that? Do you understand that? And in general, not 100% of the time, but usual. I think the Cubs have a good relationship with their current manager, maybe one that they maybe didn't have with their previous manager, where they could go to David Ross and go, look at the situation. We really want to bring Peterson in. He wants to play every day. Can we just commit to doing that? And unless things go really south with him again, when it comes to southpaws.
Was the perception around the league that the relationship with the previous manager was tenuous or slightly uncomfortable?
I think that was the perception around the league, that it was tenuous or slightly uncomfortable. I'm not saying this is a bad thing for him or anything, but just that, Joe Madden's going to do what he wants, and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, he certainly has the cachet and the success and the contract to do that, whereas a lot of managers are more of a partner with the front office. That seems a very individual kind of relationship. It varies from situation to situation.
For sure, and we are seeing more of the kind of, to use your term, partnerships, and more of these kind of give and takes between the front office and the manager. And I think it comes with, obviously managers want to be number one and be in charge. And, when the game starts, they absolutely have to be and are in every way. I mean, it's not like front offices are making the lineups, if you will. They're not thinking this guy second or use this guy in the seventh inning. That's up to the manager. You hand your roster to the manager. But some sort, talking about player usage before the game start is something that, front offices become more involved with. And I think managers are more open to as well, because managers want to win. And if you can end up in a spot of mutual respect where, look, this is your team. And once the game starts, this is absolutely your team. We are entrusting this team to you. But we hope we can talk to you outside of that. If you can build a mutual respect, I think it leads to a better situation all around.
He is Kevin Goldstein from Fangraphs, formerly of the Astros, formerly of Baseball Prospectus. Quite a life and career in baseball. Listen to the Chin Music podcast. I listen mostly for the music, Kevin. That's just kind of how I roll. It's Steve Albini as the producer, Andy Kaczynski on the drums, the great Tim Midget of Silkworm and Mint Mile on guitar. This is all in the theme song. And then some other Jamoke on vocals that get used occasionally. And then you also just like have all this other cool music that you're playing all the time. It's very, very good what you're doing. Enjoyable. Welcome back to that world.
I appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man. Thanks. That's Kevin Goldstein joining us right here on The Score. Thanks, Kevin. Have a good day. As a texter points out, there are only four left-handed starting pitchers in the National League Central. Easy to find off days for him instead of making it a lineup decision, which will dovetail quite nicely with what I do believe was the handshake agreement and how that will play out, and probably was part of the thought process of offering said handshake agreement. Bruce Levine will join us at 10:40. Before then, a really interesting decision that the Cincinnati Reds appear to be making, which is very rare and has a little precedent before that I need to share with you. We'll do it next on The Score.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The average miss in the MLB is like 17 inches.
Did you guys know that the human head weighs 5 pounds? Did you know that?
Jared, you know the human head weighs 8 pounds.
8 pounds. Come on, Spiegel. Jonathan Lipnicki knew it was 8 pounds, and Jerry Maguire and TJ Antone came to the post-game press conference last year armed with the specious fact that the average miss by a pitcher in MLB is 17 inches, and that's why he threw it high and tight on... Who did he throw it high and tight on?
Rizzo.
It was Rizzo. It's always Rizzo. It's always Rizzo crowding the plate. That's right, because they had hit Votto, and it probably wasn't even intentional that they had hit Joey Votto last year. Cubs and Reds getting into it. Reds saying that the Cubs were chirpy and annoying, which is kind of how they roll. And the up-and-coming Cincinnati Reds getting there. I got a couple notes from around the league that I want to get to for a few minutes here before we get back local with our man Bruce Levine on Cubs and Sox, specifically some bullpen stuff coming up towards the end of the hour, and Jason Benetti top of the hour. Shelby Miller of the Cubs 1 hour from now as you're listening to Hit and Run on 670 The Score. But let's start with the Reds. Does anybody realize what they're doing on the left side of the infield? Eugenio Suarez has not played more than a dozen innings at shortstop since 2015. He was a shortstop with the Tigers in 2014 and in 2015. But he has since gained some weight, added a lot of power, and played a lot of third base. The last 3 years, he's played 6 games at shortstop. He's 29 years old. But now he has lost 15 pounds and is going to play shortstop. He's going to be the starting shortstop for the Reds. How often do you see this? The answer is not very often. A full-time third baseman or a full-time anybody moving back to shortstop. This crazy, difficult, challenging position. They didn't sign a shortstop after Freddie Galvis left. They're just going with Eugenio Suarez. So that's weird. Credit to Mike Petriello over at MLB.com who found the comps. I love this kind of stuff. They went back to 1969, found players who had a season of at least 100 games, with 50% of those games coming at shortstop after 3 straight seasons of spending less than 20% of the time at shortstop. So, good. So, it's guys who are of a certain age who didn't play short and then went back. There are some guys who were utility players who then just had a jump as they became full-time shortstops. Ryan Terrio and Mark Loretta among them. The Riot. But then there are some others that are actually decent comps. Michael Young played second and short when Alex Rodriguez went to Texas. He was a shortstop, then Young moved over there. But even this, that doesn't feel right because that's like moving second to short feels more similar. Tony Womack did that as well. Then there's this one. I love it. Hubie Brooks. Anything that gets me to reference Hubie Brooks will make me smile. After 5 different years as the Mets' third baseman, he moved to shortstop in 84 when the Mets traded for Ray Knight, and he stayed there when he went to Montreal in 85. He was an all-star shortstop then for 3 seasons before moving to the outfield in 88. That's a crazy career to remember. I didn't remember that he was third and then short and then outfield for Hubie Brooks. Oh, God. I know I'm a dork. That kind of stuff makes me smile. In Dodgers camp, there's a couple things going on that are really, really interesting. Julio Urias has a new breaking ball. He has changed the grip on the breaking ball. He has more vertical movement on his slider, like a 12-6 curveball. And it's not really a slider. It's sort of a tweener. But you're seeing a lot of this around the league. And that guy, as he's trying to make the starting rotation for the Dodgers after being kind of a hybrid hero for them last year in the World Series run, is a really fascinating pitcher to watch. And again, if your fantasy baseball draft is coming up, say later in the day, or upcoming during this week, like many of ours are, you'll want to think about Julio Urias. If he makes the Dodgers rotation, he's going to have a lot of starts, wins, success, even though they're deep. And another guy who is fighting to make that rotation, another hybrid for them last year, is Dustin May. Did anybody happen to see him against Fernando Tatis Jr. on Saturday? Probably not. You're probably watching the tournament, and God love you, so was I. But I also wake up and watch every little bit of highlights that I possibly can from the baseball day before, the stuff that was intriguing. And watching Dustin May strike out Fernando Tatis Jr. swinging on a 100-mile-an-hour fastball was glorious. Dustin May threw 98 with a vicious fastball, 87 with a preposterous slider that has a crazy amount of movement, and then 100 on a fastball to get Fernando Tatis Jr. So there you go. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, everybody. Texture says, how dare you reference Hubie Brooks without calling him Hubie Babbling Brooks? That's a good call. That's fine. I am of the certain vintage, yes, indeed, where the early days of the Chris Berman nicknames were just an absolute delight. Greg Booker. Greg, take her away and Booker. Bert, be home, Bly Levin. Jose, going on a sea cruise. Fettuccine Alfredo Griffin. I know. But these were the best. Do you even know what I'm talking about, Sean Anderson, you millennial? Do you even understand what the aged Spiegel is referencing?
First off, I'm Gen Z, and I think I do.
Why are you Gen Z? Where's the cutoff?
96, so I was 97.
Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah, and Chris Berman just would throw around nicknames for baseball guys. Mostly, I guess he did it with everybody, but it was mostly baseball guys, and it was an absolute delight in the early days of SportsCenter. Now it's all about Quick Pitch, and I don't have time for your pesky nicknames on my Quick Pitch. It's a very efficient broadcast, giving me as high a quotient of pure highlights as you can possibly give me. We've got a lot of stuff to get to before we're out of here, including you'll hear from one of the more intriguing guys in White Sox camp and who he is trusting, who he is listening to in camp is really, really fun. By the way, I think this week, even more solidification for spots 4 and 5 in the White Sox rotation. Carlos Rodon was really good a day or two after Dylan Cease was really good. Renato Lopez in trouble these days. The numbers are bad, but that's just the spring. The fact that he's still vacillating between styles and mechanics and struggling with shorter arm swing and different kind of release points and still messing around, you're a little too far into the career with a little too much unrealized potential and a little too much consistent mediocrity behind you to be tussling like this when the roster is so deep. So to me, it seems Renato Lopez in trouble, Cease and Rodon with a lock on 4 and 5. Let's see what our colleague Bruce Levine thinks, the host of Inside the Clubhouse and the Scores Baseball Insider. We'll talk to him next. Jason Benetti, top of the hour, right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Jeff Joniak said, do you know who this guy is? He held up a picture of Bruce Levine. I said, no. He goes, wherever his microphone goes, your microphone goes.
That makes sense. Still a good lesson. Still a good thing to heed. Our man Bruce Levine hosts Inside the Clubhouse on Saturday mornings with David Haw. I liked the other guy that used to be there. But whatever. Time marches on. And Bruce right now joins us on the Score Hotline. presented by Alpamonte Ford. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or go to apford.com. Bruce is the Score's venerable baseball insider. Good morning, Bruce. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Yeah, the other guy got too big for the show. He decided he was more important to go and host a drive time show in the afternoon, and also go back to doing his own show on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, wonder what a jerk that guy was. That's true, though.
He had his moments.
I miss you, Bruce. I do. I miss doing the show with you. But
let me give you a virtual hug.
Yeah, okay, please do. I was talking to somebody out in Arizona, a mutual friend, somebody who has been in the business, who knows radio, and he says the show is better with Haw. Just so you know, I was like, "Oh, thank you very much."
Yeah, but it didn't necessarily mean that it's that I'm still a good part of it. It just means that the show in general is better. You know, yes. Maybe without both of us, but yeah, it's great to have David there, and we are thrilled for your success and being back for your now the 15th year of Hit and Run starting today, which is a nice long running show. If I wouldn't have gotten, you know, fired at ESPN, I would be on a streak of almost 30. So, you know, it's a long time to be doing baseball talk shows on the weekend.
Well, it's pretty cool. Saturday now and Sunday mornings, baseball talk right here on The Score in the mornings as part of your day. Bruce, the first thing I talked about today, pretty much from a baseball perspective, was that White Sox bullpen. And it is fascinating, isn't it? I don't know that there's a comp for it that jumps out. People reference the, you know, the Royals bullpen that Ned Yost had, but that was much more push button, like one inning this guy, one inning that guy, one inning this guy. I don't know how this batch of arms is going to be utilized yet. Do you have a sense of how they're going to be utilized, what the roles might be before Liam Hendricks by Tony La Russa?
Well, it's already been established that Crochet, the number one pick from last year, the left-hander that throws 100, is going to be throwing one inning toward the end of the game. So he and Bummer and Hendricks will be there. But the hybrid role, which is so fascinating this year, is the Michael Kopech role. We had Ethan Katz on, the pitching coach for the Chicago White Sox, yesterday on Inside the Clubhouse. And we talked to him about the hybrid role of Crochet and how he fits in. One, two innings, more? Is he going to be a starter? Here's Katz.
The development for Michael is going to be ongoing in the bullpen. The other day he threw all four pitches. He got some changeups in. He had multiple innings. His next outing is a one plus. Seeing how he bounces back, it could be one inning, but it's scheduled to be a one plus his next outing. So he could be able to go multiple innings at the start of the season. I think a lot of it, you know, it's been 2 years, you know, and what I mentioned to him after his last outing, that was the first time he had to work through a little bit in the last couple years. You know, last year he had that one inning in spring training, it was a 1-2-3. So, you know, we just got to see how he's responding, seeing how he feels. But the goal is to get him multiple innings. There will be times when he goes in there and throws one inning. But a lot of it has to do with how he recovers and kind of go from there with how his body feels.
Interesting, Bruce. So that's Ethan Katz talking about Michael Kopech and saying the wide array of pitches gives him an opportunity for multiple innings. It's not just rear back and throw it as hard as you can, kid, and when you're done, you're done. It's more malleable and a little more depth than that, isn't it?
Well, and Matt, take it a step further. This is still player development for a guy that's only pitched in four games in the major leagues in his career and hasn't pitched in a game competitively outside of this spring training and one inning last spring training for 2 years. So this is all about, we want Kopech to be a part of our bullpen. We want him to be a hybrid, a bridge guy that comes in the fifth and sixth inning rather than, you know, later in bridge a game to the closer. This could be a hybrid role where he is kind of inventing a position for himself, but also stretching out and getting to the point where he builds up the arm, he builds up innings, and he's ready to be a starting pitcher in 2022.
Well, that is interesting. And you wonder, who is the sixth option For the White Sox, Renato Lopez has not been very good this spring, but maybe it's still Renato Lopez. But is Kopech somebody that, if they had to find another one midseason, will they want Kopech to be an option at that point?
Well, you know, being as valuable as he is, Matt, the idea is he'd have to get stretched out. So, you know, would he go back to the minor leagues for 3 weeks and build up his innings, because he can't do it at the major league level? You just can't, you know, you can throw him in as a long man, but, you know, if you do that, you know, you lose him for the role that he's in for that particular point in time. I think Lopez is going to probably break as a long man, because if you look at the conversation that we've heard about last season and this season and getting starting pitchers back to semblance of throwing 30 to 33 starts, getting stretched out to 160, 70, 80 innings, that's going to be a slow roll. So at the beginning, I think you're going to see a lot of teams with quasi six starters, because of the fact that they want those innings to be built up slowly for their starting pitchers. They don't want to max them out early, knowing that they're trying to rebuild after almost a whole year of being off.
Bruce, before the Adam Engel injury, I would have said that it was kind of a long shot for Billy Hamilton to make this opening day roster. Maybe I would have been wrong, but either way, now Engel is hurt. We'll find out a little bit more about that today, I would assume. Do you think Billy Hamilton ends up on the roster, and would they be able to send him down to the minors according to the deal? And I understand, I don't know if you know, because it's it can be specific from contract to contract. It's a minors deal that Billy Hamilton signed. I just don't know if they could send him to Charlotte if they wanted to.
Yeah, you don't know if he's going to have options or not once he signs the major league deal. But the situation with Engel would create a spot for Hamilton. And La Russa likes the fact that he plays all three outfield positions and can be that speed guy at the end of the game or even in the seventh inning that goes in and gets you a run that you need by a pinch running or stealing a base or being able to score from first on a double. Those are intriguing things for this roster. But the Engel injury, as you said, we'll know more today. He's a really important player for this team because he is such a good defensive player, and he seems to have been able to find himself offensively as well over the last 2 years. So from that perspective, we'll just have to see today. But again, with Garcia on the roster, they don't necessarily have to carry a lot of outfielders because he's, you know, the infielder, outfielder that can play seamlessly just about any position on the field.
Let's switch sides of town, Bruce. Cubs bullpen, much better for Craig Kimbrell yesterday and in his appearance before that. It seems like David Ross and others a little bit more relaxed about Kimbrell than they were.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, with only 10 days left in spring training, Matt, you pay more attention to the competitive pitching and at-bats, okay? Because early in spring training, you know, you're going up against camp guys that are not necessarily major leaguers. So when you're trying to rate the performance and giving OPS and, you know, ratio of strikeout to walk, it's really not very accurate. Now, with the 10 days left, they're facing very good players. So when you see a guy like Kimbrell strike out a couple of guys, you see the velo being where it needs to be. You're seeing the curveball almost getting back to where it belongs. Not quite yet. Not really thrown it for a strike yet, but there is a break to it that the hitters were swinging at yesterday. That's the key. That's the key for Kimbrell, is to be able to get that breaking ball over for a strike early in the count, and then let the fastball eat, you know, after that. That has been the key to the success of an almost Hall of Fame career for Craig Kimbrell over the last 11 years.
What else in that Cubs bullpen? Saw Pedro Strop hit 95 on the gun yesterday. That's a story. Gun might have been fast, though, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Strop making the team, but the guy to look at is Shelby Miller. So, you know, the former starter and big arm has returned to form. He's going to make the Cubs a roster as a bullpen guy. And down the road, he might be a starting pitcher again. because we know that they need the depth. There's not a lot of depth in the Cubs starting pitching. If they get an injury or two, it's problematic. But Miller is, you know, you can tell by the way the hitters are acting that ball is fastball is live, a breaking ball that's getting over the plate, and I think he's going to be in the middle to set up role for the Cubs initially, and then maybe get stretched out because he is very viable from his career as a starting pitcher.
Well, that's pretty cool. We're talking to him in 1 hour, Bruce, on this show. I'm looking forward because it's kind of a fascinating career, and he was getting stretched out, and then yesterday they used him in one inning. So that makes sense that they seem to have found a guy there. One more on the left-handers in that bullpen. Kyle Ryan sent down. He's been the predominant lefty the last 2 years, so I guess that means Andrew Chafin and Rex Brothers going to make this team?
I think so. Weck, you know, had a good inning the other day, but yeah. Ross said he's not quite there yet. You know, he's coming back from injuries last year. Brothers, you know, has been around a long time with the Cubs once before. He is throwing the heck out of the ball. I think he makes the team as a second lefty after Chafin. That's what you're looking at this bullpen. And, you know, I think Alzolay and Miller, those are the guys you look at for Longman for the Cubs when they need it. You know, it's going to be another combination of Winkler, Workman, Adam, you know, Miller, Alzolay, Holder, and then coming back is Rowan Wick, who is just starting to come back from the intercostal injury that he had that kept him down at the end of last year and has hurt him so far this year. He won't start the season with the team, but there's some good encouraging signs that he's getting back on the hill, getting ready to compete.
Bruce, you're the best. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Matt. Take care.
All right, thank you. It's Bruce Levine. He will join us weekly here on Inside the Clubhouse. Actually, that's his show on Saturdays on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Hey, I know there's like basketball going on, but they're not tipping off yet. They don't tip off at the top of the hour. They got plenty of minutes going into the hour before they play. In the meantime, listen to me and Jason Benetti talking White Sox next on 670 The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners.
It's not fast food, but it's so good.